So up to this point of the retreat, we've been looking at how ego scrambles our communication. And what we're going to be doing from now on is looking to see how we could get the upper hand and keep the ego out of the interactions. All right? So we're going to start with an exercise. And for this exercise, we'd like everyone to stand up. Make sure you have some room. So move out into the room and find someone you have not spoken to yet or partnered up to. Okay? Decide who's going to go first and who's going to go second.
Do we need our recorder?
Do we need our recorder?
No, you don't. Just decide who's going to go first and who's going to go second. The person who's going first is going to be a mirror and mirror everything that person number two does. Exactly. When the bell rings, you'll switch roles. And every time the bell rings, you'll switch roles. Everybody clear? Person one is the mirror. Person two is standing in front of the mirror. The mirror is going to do whatever the person is doing. And there's some ground rules here. Right? So the first ground rule is the person being mirrored doesn't make any movements except from above the waist. And the success of this activity depends not only on the mirror being able to perfectly mirror the other person, but also that the person allows the mirror to be successful. Everyone got that?
No. Would you repeat it?
Oh, you couldn't hear what I'm saying?
These are physical movements.
Physical movements, uh-huh. Right. So one of you is a mirror, the other one is not. The other one's going to make movements, and the mirror does exactly what the person in front of them is doing. When the bell rings, switch roles. The success of this, pardon?
The ground rules is what it is.
Oh, the ground rules. Yeah. First, the person being mirrored only makes movements from above the waist, and the success of the activity depends on the mirror being able to do exactly what the person is doing, but also the person making sure that the mirror can be successful. Right, so you're not trying to trick the mirror into not being able to follow
it. Gaining the privileged environment by not looking at the person.
I think you will have to, so.
Yeah. Oh, but now look at their no eye contact.
But you're maintaining the privileged environment in all other ways. Kevin, did you have a question? Okay. All right. Let's begin. Did you have something? Just jot down what you want. Good notes. Your what? We need another pen. Anyone? Rebecca,
Right, how are people doing?
Good.
Good. Okay, what did people notice? Joni?
I was really surprised. And this is just an observation, a projection.
Yeah, no, just okay. What was your experience doing it?
My experience doing it was fun.
It was fun,
A judgment came up for me. I projected that, I picked up that I was using movements that had to do more like serious reflection, like this.
Uh-huh.
Or perplexed, like.
So there was a certain quality to the movements that you wanted.
And what I projected onto her was that hers were a lot more just kind of silly and free and fun.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's something that I've been looking at in myself is, how to have more fun, project more fun, have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of tone down that serious.
Yes, to go for fun versus serious.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Anyone else? How was it like to just do the exercise? Kevin?
I didn't notice until the final bell rang that I then gulped at air. I wasn't breathing.
You weren't breathing. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You weren't breathing.
I suspect that was not helpful in sort of synchrony arising naturally. So there's this sort of quality of concentration that I think was like gripping, Was like,
yes, a quality of concentration that was gripping.
Yeah, and instead of sort of this fluid just...
Uh-huh.
Easeful, and having done similar things in sort of Tai Chi context before, I have the experience of when there's more sort of the fluid, and when there's breath.
When there's breath, when you're not holding it and tensing up around the exercise.
Very different experience.
Mark.
This was the last thing that I wrote down. It kind of surprised me, and it was really, I had a very positive experience for it. And that was that I was open to giving and receiving.
You were open to giving and receiving. Mm-hmm.
Which just took me by surprise.
Which took you by surprise.
True.
Yes.
Very true.
That was the quality that was in the exercise. Tricia?
I noticed that I moved in a pattern, and I expected my partner to move in a pattern.
Uh-huh.
And when he didn't, it was kind of like, I don't know, annoying or like, wait a minute, I'm kind of mess up.
Yeah.
But it this needs to be in a pattern.
Yes. That you put in a pattern and it would be that was the projection of expectation, and when it wasn't met there was a little bit of irritation or annoyance. Ken.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I noticed is if the voice started conversation at all. It was very hard to follow it in the first place.
If the voice was talking, it was impossible to mirror. Yes.
And at first it was fun, and then it was kind of like this, but the second time it was kind of it's okay. And then it was, becoming a little harder to follow when I switched to that.
Yeah.
And by the middle of it, the second one, it was like, I'm getting bored with this. Now, who's getting bored with this?
That's exactly right. Yeah. You can watch the progression of the novelty, the difficulty and the lack of presence.
But there was that awareness there that all this that was going on was not helpful. All that conversation was not helpful.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on. I just wanted to touch into making sure that people were aware of what was going on for them. Okay.
We're going to need that.
Yeah, because we're going to need that.
So for the next part of the exercise, I'm going to start with an excerpt from the communication book. So the term we use to describe communicating from presence is facilitation. To facilitate is to practice engaging with another human being without allowing ego to sabotage, hijack, or distort the exchange. And so the first facilitation technique that we're going to explore is reflection. Which, as people are describing, that's what we just did, right, in a nonverbal way. So more about reflection from the book. Reflection and facilitation is to mirror back what someone says as accurately as possible. It's not to summarize or paraphrase. It's not to interpret. It's to repeat back their words as closely as we are able. It requires the attention to be here, attending to what an actual human being is saying, rather than what ego's voices are droning on about inside the head. So we're going to do a little demo. So I'm going to speak about that mirroring exercise that we just did, and Ashwini's going to reflect me.
Okay? I do this all the time, and I'm so nervous.
It is a high technique.
Oh my God, I don't mind sitting on the cushion and doing it, but I'm going to reflect Jen. All right, go for it.
So what I noticed in doing the mirroring...
So what you noticed in doing the mirroring...
is how simple I wanted to keep my... When I was doing the actions, how simple I wanted to keep them.
So when you were doing the action, how simple you wanted to keep them.
And it felt like I was very aware of my partner.
It felt like you were very aware of your partner.
That instruction that was given that... That the success of the exercise...
That the success of the exercise...
Isn't just the person mirroring. But it's this person also.
Everybody got it?
So there are people who, for whom this technique, you're well-versed in this technique. And so we'd love to hear some practical tips from you that you've gleaned over the years of practicing reflection. Carol.
Well, this might even be a question.
Okay.
Like when somebody, it's great when the person lets you speak.
Exactly. Wasn't I very good at being helpful?
But when you have, I was speaking to somebody, a friend, and there almost for 20 minutes, there was not a break. And I almost had to kind of be rude, you know, and butt in and go, can I just make sure that I've caught up with you?
And it's not rude at all. It's actually right here on my paper.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the three most important techniques that we have in reflection. Is that, so my partner is going on and on and on, and it's absolutely fair game for me to say, hang on one sec, let me make sure I'm with you.
Okay.
Because not only is it going to be of assistance to you as the facilitator, but it's really the whole point of reflection. Mm-hmm. Because as I'm reflecting, I'm assisting the person who's being reflected to hear what they're saying. Right? So it's really of assistance to both of us. So thank you for that.
And the language, let's use the language, right? So hang on a second. Let me make sure I'm with you.
I'm with you.
Yeah?
And then sometimes I have to do it more than once because she hasn't heard it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a practice. Right? We're training. Yeah. Kate?
It's okay to ask them if you got lost or something, or you can't remember what they said, sometimes even when you're repeating back to them. It's okay to say, now you said something about this. Can you remind me what you said, or can you say more?
And you wouldn't even have to say, so we're going to get to some of those things a little bit later on, so you wouldn't even have to say something like, can you say more? Mm-hmm. But to simply say, I'm not sure I got all of that. Would you be willing to repeat it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you realize either you've gone off or you can't remember or, as Carol said, they're going on, I'm not sure I got all of that. Would you be willing to repeat that? Completely fair game. Yeah.
Jen.
Yeah, well, that was kind of where I was going. But the other one, I don't know if this is still how we look at it, but that if it is, you know, there has been a lot, that you might just kind of say the last bit, you know, the last three words, I think, is one thing that was sometimes talked about, like, okay, just reflect the last little bit that you can. Like, you don't have to say the entire paragraph, you know, word for word type of a thing, but to reflect the piece that you can.
So something you could like just that. Reflect the piece that you can.
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, that underlines how that just got the spirit of what you said. Yeah. And you went on for a while. And there's no way, I don't know how some people do it. Like, you just reflect every single word. It's not a skill that I have, right?
Yeah.
So if they have gone on for a while, I'm not capturing the spirit of what they're saying. I'm actually using their words, but I'm not having to reflect every single word they said. Yeah. Goalie.
About that point, one time in reflective listening buddies, when I was talking, because one of the things, maybe but for everybody, I'm projecting, but you know, the brain ruminates and goes here and there and everything, and then my partner, after a long time, just said, okay, I'm just going to say the last, you know, like, sort of confused. And I really felt, my experience was I hadn't been listened to and I hadn't been heard. Mm. So what happens in those times?
Well, so it sounds like maybe your partner would have benefited from the technique that Carol gave us. So maybe before the 10 minutes had passed, having a chance to say, let me just see if I'm with you. So reflecting sooner than that. And the other thing is that you don't, so when I reflected Jen, I didn't say, I'm just going to repeat back the last three words you said. Mm-hmm. I simply reflected those last three words. Mm-hmm. And if I reflect them in a way of, and so it's, what you're saying is, I say the last three words, and then I pause, it's an invitation to the person who's speaking to say more about that.
Yeah, right. And so perhaps what we want to say is, so the person is not reflecting you, right? So we don't want to say, I listen to all of what you're saying, and I'm going up into conditioned mind and telling you what I think you're saying, I think you are, which is confused. That's not reflecting, right? So that's why we want to say the last three words, because I'm present and listening to everything you have to say. And if I'm practiced enough, I could say, would you mind if I caught up with you, as a way of interrupting? And that's training you and training me to be compassionate for all, right? And so at the end, if you reflect the last three words, the mirror cannot do anything except do what the person is doing. If it goes up into conditioned mind to say, I'm confused, then it's not a mirror, because it's got input there that wasn't in what was coming towards it. And that's the reason to do the mirroring exercise. You're only able to respond with what's given to you. Right?
All right, we probably need to move on. Okay, so would folks who have some experience in the technique please stand up? People who have done reflection? Okay. And then would other folks please pair up with those people? Find someone who's standing up to pair up with. And then once you've paired up, you can go ahead and sit down. And if there are only people standing up left, it's fine to partner with one of those folks. Okay.
Are you an experienced person? I've done a round, but I don't know if that's what I mean by experience.
Which, if you feel like you...
Okay, I've done it before. Yes.
Okay.
I think we're all...
You're all set. Okay, standers can partner up with each other.
Mark, are you missing a partner? Okay.
Okay. Great, you can go ahead and sit down. Yeah, you can record. Yep.
Yeah.
So the person who has had experience with the technique of reflection will be the facilitator to start in order to kind of model the technique. If both of you have had experience, then why don't you go ahead and decide who's going to go first? Who's going to be the facilitator first?
How much would you
want to record? The part where you're speaking. When you're talking, when you're processing.
No idea.
Okay, everyone got that?
Would you repeat that when we're speaking?
So, in just a moment, I'm going to ring a bell, and the person who's being reflected, you're welcome to record. You're part of the interaction. And you're going to speak about that mirroring exercise, what you saw in doing the mirroring exercise. Okay? And the person who's facilitating will reflect. And as we've been talking about, by reflection, we're talking about mirroring the person, right? So to the best of your ability, in their words, reflecting back what they're saying, right? So you're practicing being here. You're practicing listening to what they're saying rather than what the voices might be droning on about inside your head, okay? And at a certain point, the bell will ring and you'll switch roles. Yes.
It is the same, you might have said it, but the same rule apply that we're going for the success of the other person as well.
Absolutely.
Just like the same rule.
Always, yep. All right, yes, Jodine.
And the recording, I think he said
it. I think let's just, it doesn't matter whether you record this or not. It's not that important. If you want to know what your process is, you're welcome to record your part of the processing.
Yes.
Is there a subject?
Yes, the mirroring exercise. Yeah, what you saw in doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right, very good. Person number one, begin.
All right, so what I saw in the song was at first I was mirroring her, so that's a
better achievement. So what you saw in the mirroring exercise is at first you mirrored your partner a couple of seconds after she was
born. Yeah, and then I went up onto my head and realized that the mirror has to be the person in the mirror has to figure out has to move when the other person moves. Like, I wasn't mirroring.
So then you went up in your head and you realized that the person in the mirror has to move with the figure. Basically, you were here.
What I saw now was
I wanted to get it so perfectly that I was not married.
So that was amusing to you that in that situation, it was kind of like you wanted to get it so perfectly that you weren't married.
And the other thing was I wanted to like do what is here was more outrageous, but I was still not doing it.
their eye movement, which is fun. moments I wondered, is she waiting for me to leave?
She was moving really slowly and became sort of doubtful. She was
Yeah, it felt like she was waiting for me to leave, but like I was leaving. I was just trying to move slow on her.
It felt like she was waiting for you to move, but you were really enjoying just moving slow on her.
Then the bell thing, and she was clearly
so you were having fun doing it, but you noticed it bubbles soft.
And like she just started moving her hand, and I was like, well, I guess if I follow that, I can hear it.
So after the bell rang, it was so cool that she was waiting. She was starting moving her hands. And I was like, well, I guess I need to follow her and my hands.
Yeah, so then like had a more traditional near conception, but it was clear I was leaving.
So then you, because of that, you had a more traditional mirror conception. It was clear who was leaving and who was the mirror.
I really felt like I was mirroring a couple of times. And she clearly felt like she was mirroring the whole time. Yet we did like a significant amount of movement without anybody leading.
So it was so you and she was mirroring you, and you were doing so, like not an insignificant mirroring. It was just beautiful.
Right. You would thank your partner. And then you don't need to move very far. If you've got your notebook with you, just take your notebook out and take some notes about what you saw. And if you're still writing, if you begin to wrap it up. And as you are wrapping it up, if you would please find someone you don't know and have not spoken with. The nice thing about big retreats, it's not that hard to do. Got a partner? Nancy, you need a partner? That's probably not going to work. Okay. So let's see. Do you want to break up? Deanna, have you spoken to Nancy? And Joni, have you spoken to Mark yet? You have? Okay. Well, let's see. How about who have you not? Mark, have you spoken to probably all the chair people?
Sequoia.
Oh, perfect. Sequoia. And then Jodine and Joni? Over here?
We've spoken.
You've spoken to your chairperson, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure. How about you and Jodine pair up? So, Jodine, you come over here to Nancy. And Deanna and Sequoia, have you spoken?
No.
Perfect. It always eventually works out.
And you still haven't heard Mark.
Oh, that doesn't work. Okay. So, Mark, have you spoken to Kevin right here, green t-shirt?
No.
Okay. And then Goalie, have you spoken to Joni?
I think we
Joni, you've made the rounds. Okay, we're going to get you. So, what's that? You haven't spoken to Trish, okay. And Ken and Goalie, have you spoken?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, wow. Yeah. We got to go.
You know what? Let's just go
do
it.
And
you know what? We haven't spoken. We can be here.
Okay, great.
So I haven't spoken to either one, so whoever you have.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Well, I have.
Yeah, Anna and Goalie. Rebecca and Joni.
Okay, decide who's first and who's second. Got that? So the way it will go is that person number one will talk about what you saw in that last being reflected, reflecting, and person number two will reflect. Okay? And when the bell rings, you'll switch roles. Yep. So person number one will talk about your experience of that last dyad where you were reflecting and being reflected. Okay? Person number two will reflect their partner as they talk about that. And when the bell rings, you'll switch roles. Okay?
What I know that the level of concentration is greater.
Thank you.
Hear that instruction and being moved to tears by the realization that the success of the exercise also depends on the person doing the movements.
Yeah, and I just went to, wow, what a world it would be. What a world it would be if we were all so totally invested in the other person's success.
Yes. It leaves a person speechless.
Yeah. So here's what I saw about, so when you said, you know, people have been doing reflecting for a while, what are your tips? And so what I was going to say in that was, you know, as the reflector, we can relax because it's not about us. I mean, when I first started reflecting, it's like, okay, what are they saying? Am I going to get it right? All of that stuff going in the head. So it's just like, as a reflector, as a person doing the reflecting, as a person being the mirror, it's not about me.
So really getting that at first when you were practicing it, it was kind of all tense. Oh, I got to get it right. But realizing that you can just relax because it's not about me.
That I'm stepped into a role of a facilitation, and it's about just making it easy for the other person, and they know where they're going, and I'm just by their side as they go there.
Yes, facilitation, right? To make easy. Right?
So here's the new thing. When in the second exercise, right, when the person was reflecting me, I really took that instruction to heart that I'm responsible for the mirror being successful. Mm. So just as much as when I'm the facilitator, it's not about me. Mm. Guess what? I'm the speaker. It's not about me.
And so amazing to see that, right? That place of we could practice something for years and there's always something new to see. And so really taking that instruction from the first part of the exercise and in that second part, really taking it to heart that when I'm speaking about my experience and being reflected, that I can speak in a way that ensures the success of that person, and from that, realize that's also not about me.
Yes, and that there can be a lot of ego in me. It's my turn, I'm sharing, it's about me, I want to get all my, I'm very energetic, I can speak forever and ever and ever, and somebody has to say, wait a minute,
let me make sure I'm with you.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to catch up with you, and it's about me, stay with me, I'm going fast, and you need to go fast, but to realize, wow, I had just never seen it. Yeah, it's kind of like, Jen, carpet is red, and I've never seen her before. that if I am invested in your success, whatever is going on, somehow that takes ego out of it, because it's not about me. Even if I'm the one talking about my process, there's a we here.
Yes. So what you're illustrating perfectly is how facilitation is the, I forget exactly how Ashwini said it, opening the morning, but it's the way that we can work with not having to be run by the karma, whatever those core messages are, all those things we've been looking at over the last few days. Facilitation is the way we can be freed from that in order to just be here and actually hear what a human being is saying, whether it's that person or this person, instead of only hearing the drone that's happening in what the voices are saying.
Yes, and if I am coming from a place of I'm invested in the success of the mirror, whatever the mirror is, even if it's a stop, or a person in the grocery store or whatever, in order to have that focus, I cannot be me.
Yes.
And it just feels huge.
Yeah. That there's the trick of it, right? In order to have that focus, in order to have the success of whatever it is I'm interacting with, whatever it is I'm in relationship with, I can't be an I. I can't be me. And that's the thing that liberates us from that being in that conversation.
Yes, because then it's not about you need to reflect in this situation. You need to reflect me so I can get what I need to get out of this situation.
Yeah.
No, I am in a relationship, should we say, with I want to go at the speed of this whatever. And so that we can both be successful.
Yeah.
But I've never really seen that in that way before.
So in both cases, whether I'm being reflected or I'm reflecting, it's not about me. It's the success of the whole.
Wow. Imagine that. Thank you so much.
Anna.
I had an experience in these exercises.
Can everyone hear her? You had an experience
through these exercises.
Through these exercises.
And the way that they built on one another,
the way that they built on one another.
Of encountering a whole possibility for a way of being.
Mm. Of encountering a whole possibility for a way of being.
Mm. Which is around that. So when I was doing the physical mirroring and I was being the mirror, there was a sense of relief at being, getting to be that empty teacup, right? Just the mirror.
Uh-huh. The sense of relief that you just got to be the empty teacup in being the mirror. It's what Anne was saying. There's a way in which I can relax because
yes.
I don't have to do. I just have to be.
Yes, yes. I just have to be. And then touching into the kindness of keeping things simple for when I was being mirrored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the touching into the kindness of when you were being mirrored, that I have to be simple in order to be able to make the mirror successful.
Exactly. And the possibility was just that as a way of being.
Uh-huh.
So in the trio that we've been talking about, having the practitioner be the mirror for the intelligence that animates, so whatever drops in, say it.
Uh-huh.
That kind of reflective listening.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Go ahead. Are people...
Yeah. And the practitioner being the mirror for the authentic human being. So the practitioner does not need to interpret or analyze or figure out what's going on with the human being. The practitioner can purely reflect the authentic human being. So a mirror for both.
Uh-huh.
And connecting all three.
Yes, and so this is the relating to what Sherry was talking about as the three people.
Mm-hmm.
But the possibility that occurred to you from doing all these exercises is that really is the place from which the practitioner can practice.
Yes.
There's a relaxation of, there are only two choices here.
Yes.
One is I'm reflecting what the intelligence that animates is animating,
mm-hmm.
or I'm reflecting the authenticity of the human being.
Yes.
And if I'm doing either of that from that place of kindness and willingness,
yes.
there's no room for ego to be reflected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise, the only thing that's being mirrored is the ego.
Yes. And it's a living in listening.
Living in listening. Yes, yeah. Living in listening.
So being open, I'm available, I'm a receptor, and not the what feels like the doing of having attention on the conversation in the head, obsessing about a me that isn't me.
Exactly. I think it's pointing to what we're looking at here, that it's impossible to be a reflector
yes.
if you're not receptive.
Yes.
Right? That's what the mirror has. It's a passive receptivity.
Yes.
And it has no agenda. It's not anything, which is why it can reflect everything.
Yeah.
And so that's the practitioner's role, is to live in the world of listening so that that's possible. I'm either listening to the authentic human and being with that with the human,
yes.
or I'm listening to the intelligence that animates, being with the intelligence that animates.
Yes.
And in some sense, it's all the same thing.
Yes.
Right? Because what we are is present.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think it was Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh who said, you cannot come to, and he used the word God,
mm-hmm.
if you're not, in his words, feminine.
Uh-huh.
And what he was doing is the quality of yin, the
yes.
quality of water
yes.
that can take on anything.
Yes.
It requires the as you're describing, the doer, the doing, the ego, to be completely surrendered
mm-hmm.
in order for that to be possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like a whole being mm-hmm. listening with just hands open,
uh-huh.
just open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Penny.
With regard to that, I was aware, and when I was reflecting, that
folks here on the side,
there were three of us.
There were three of you.
And what I was seeing, ego was, you know, there was commentary.
Got it. That was the third character.
The third character. And how important it is not to address that in any way, not to try to get rid of it, not
yes.
to try to block it out, because any attention brought to it.
God, that's such a
takes the attention away.
That's such a, that
just
really
let it
illustrates
sit off to
it.
The side
yes.
And do what it does.
Yes.
And just, you know, just not address it.
Yeah, that is such a good point. So if I'm giving, so the voice is doing whatever the voice is doing, and very likely because of what folks have already pointed at, sitting and reflecting someone is going to roar that thing up like nothing else. I was just saying to Ashwani when I was talking this morning of how when one is doing the daily recollection, especially leading it, how much the voice has to say. Right? Just that heckler up there, right? Just hooting or, you know, just, And it, I mean, we can't have any relationship with it. No, that's not true. No, I really, I know the daily recollection. I'm not going to, right? Because, boom, it just takes me off of here. So not having any relationship with it at all.
Because trying to block it out and do anything to resist it, it makes that the focus of your attention.
Yes, trying to block it out, trying to do anything with it, will make it the focus of your attention. Yeah. And the gift of facilitating, and actually the gift of leading the daily recollection sitting on the cushion is the stakes are high. Right? The stakes are high. We don't want to entertain that. And that's why, I think Sherry was referring to it last night, that's why facilitating in our lives is such a perfect technique, because we want to be here, right? Whereas where it's just me, just going around, we can do that wool gathering, not even realizing we're doing it in some relationship with that voice. But when we're here, especially when there's another person involved, it really ups the motivation to want to practice being able to train the attention to be here.
Yes. Yeah. Kate?
When I was doing the facilitating...
When you were doing the facilitating...
I completely fell in love with my partner.
You completely fell in love with your partner?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of like they were the greatest storyteller on earth.
It was like they were the greatest storyteller on earth.
I was, like, just hanging on the next thing they were going to say. Like,
yes, hanging on the next thing that they were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yes. Do you want... Mm-mm. Go ahead.
That's it.
Well, it's such an interesting place because we talk about presence as, oh, we're going to be present. But the quality of presence is exactly that. I think we've been looking at it in various groups at the monastery and center that attention is a form of love. You can only know what you love, right? Love is a mode of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And that is the experience of giving your entire attention to someone else. When this is not there, the quality of that is love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we're so desperate to be attended to because that's not our experience. A lack of attention is translated into a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can sit with someone and really give them all your attention, it is really a loving experience.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what it's like for them? But I'm certainly having that experience, which is the only point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Rebecca.
So I noticed that another benefit of not being a me when I'm facilitating is that I can reflect the person's energy as well as their words. And in that way, everything in human life is available. In that, you know, so as I'm in the role of the facilitator in ever greater circumstances, then I am available for the full spectrum of human experience. Because I haven't had this truncated ego, well, you can be this or this.
Yes.
And so as I drop that, I can reflect that energy, this energy. No energy.
Yeah.
You know, and in that way, like what you were saying, I don't know what it's like for them, but I get to experience
everything. That's so fun. So another one of the benefits of not having to be a me as I'm facilitating, and I love what you said also about facilitating all over the place, right? So not just sitting on a cushion with another person but really going about our lives from that place of facilitation. you realize that you're also facilitating kind of the energy of an interaction, which makes available to you as the person facilitating any range of energy, right? And it sounds like one of the benefits you're pointing at is, you know, for each of us, very often, we have certain sort of patterns. Well, I'm this way, but I'm not really that way, and I'm this. But if I'm facilitating, if I'm going around reflecting energy, then I'll get to have any kind of energy, right? Depending on what's going on around me, and I get to experience all of that. As you say, who knows what's going on for the other person, but I get to experience all of that.
Yeah, and two things that dropped in as you were saying that. One is it's just, this is just another example of what I've been anyways noticing in practice of late, that it's a way in which we are taking the monastic training into everything in the world, out into every aspect of life, whether I'm a householder or a monk or anything.
Yeah.
It's just a way of, it just leads into everything beautifully, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. And then the second thing I was noticing, or I was seeing as you were dropping in, as you were saying, is that, let's see, did it just go? Well, I think it was this, when a person is like saying, or a tangible way that this might work is if a person is saying, they didn't say this, but that exercise left me really depressed. And I would want to say, and that exercise left you really depressed.
That sounds neat. Wow.
You know, and in a way that can be a subtle way of, I'm going to bring that energy up, or, you know, taking care of, or whatever.
Yeah.
Just not being the pure mirror.
Right, it's not being the pure mirror, right? So really pointing at how you were talking about, we're also reflecting the energy. And then that point of, it feels like there's a way in which when we're facilitating everything, we're bringing the spirit of monastic practice into whatever our lives are, right? So if I'm at the monastery, I'm reflecting silence and solitude. If I'm at the grocery store, I'm reflecting whatever's going on at the grocery store. But that possibility of always having that practice being the foundation of our life, facilitation really gives us a tool to do that.
Yeah, it's like we have our metaphorical cushion with us wherever we go. We never leave the cushion.
We never leave the cushion, exactly.
Lynette.
I really enjoyed the physical mirroring.
You really enjoyed the physical mirroring?
Yeah, because what I find sometimes when I'm facilitating and there's words,
aha! Uh-huh. So you enjoyed the physical mirroring because when you're facilitating with words, you tend to go off.
And so what happened with the physical mirror, which was really good, is that there was a moment where I thought my partner might have went this way, and I went. And so if I had stopped, I'd have lost. I mean, because it was just too much.
Uh-huh.
And so it was just, I had to go.
Uh-huh. So if I'm hearing, did everyone hear what she said?
No.
Yeah, well, so that when in the physical interaction, if she stopped, then she would have missed, and so she had to keep going, right? And so what I'm projecting that connection there, right, Lynette, is that there was no space or time for attention to be anywhere other than here in the physical exercise, because all of the attention, as Penny was saying, had to be there for the mirror to keep up with the person.
It was just moving too fast.
No. It was moving too fast for any attention to drift, right? And that parallel is not true for you in words. When there is actual facilitation, there's a tendency to drift. And so where does that leave you?
Well, it kind of left me with just wanting to do a little more mirror with just what's going on about me. And then,
so a little bit more mirroring about what's going on for you.
Yeah. And just where I'm moving and how I'm moving, and just a little bit paying attention to that.
So it drops into actually see if you can pay a lot closer attention to how you are.
Movements.
Uh-huh.
My own movements.
your own movements.
Uh-huh. And just be aware of them. And then I don't know where that leaves me. I mean,
yes.
It wants to leave me in not a good place.
It wants to leave you in not a good place. But if I may, right, it's classic what this does, right? So you have an insight, and then it tells you to feel bad that you're not doing that, right? But the insight itself is the transformation. Because what you saw was perhaps the training, again, you know, you said it, I'm just going to pay closer attention. Because when I pay close attention, I can absolutely keep up.
Yes.
When the attention drifts, then I don't. So the answer to that is pay more attention, not feel bad. Right? Yeah. So it's revealed to us what the differences are in order to be helpful to us to learn from them.
Yes, and the proof was that I could follow.
And the proof was you could follow. Exactly. 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 Thank you.
Yeah. June.
I feel like I've been set free.
Set free. Amen.
The estimation that you can reflect the last three words.
Uh-huh.
It's totally, you know, the email will come out that there's a new reflective listening buddies session to sign up for.
Uh-huh.
And the two primary reasons I'm aware of that I have so seldom done that, one is my voice, and the other is that I can reflect about one sentence accurately. And when I have done it, I have done reflective listening, and the person talks longer than I can, I don't have any choice but to reflect the part I can remember.
Yes.
So, knowing that that's okay.
Yes.
the other thing that I've seen that stops me from signing up is that is the belief that I don't want to inflict my awkwardness on my partner. That they're getting cheated because, I don't know, just blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 exactly, right? I mean, we're back to Penny's point, right? I don't really need to give that any attention, right?
Yeah, well, yes.
It's important to see that it's there. I mean, it's huge. It's what we've been doing the last few days. Important to see what it's saying and how it does what it does. And then as soon as we do, to bring it back, the attention here, and to realize, oh my goodness, wow, to actually be present to hear the information, I don't have to be able to remember everything that the person is saying. I can just reflect the last few words, as it sounds like you've been doing, but now you get the information that that's okay. Which seems, the application of that seems gigantic, right? Because how often do we spend however much time up in a conversation about what's wrong, finally to communicate and find out it isn't wrong? It's completely all right. Which is why we have that practice of when we, you know, out comes the email about reflective listening buddies, voices say no because X, Y, Z, so what we know is, okay, yes.
Yeah, but it's that, don't inflict myself on other people. Karma stops me.
And it just seems, June, doesn't it, such a beautiful opportunity for you to facilitate, to reflect that person.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Because that will get taken away.
Yeah. Well, it'll be your homework assignment for all of us, so we'll remind you.
Sequoia.
Those two exercises allowed me to have a direct experience of something that feels so important.
a direct experience of something that feels so important.
When I was in the physical mirroring.
When you were in the physical mirroring?
I was experiencing this great love. You know, not a personal love, but just, oh my God, just my heart was open and this just felt like...
Yeah, so you were experiencing great love, your heart was open.
So much love.
Not personal.
And there was just no place else I wanted to be than doing this. And then... That core identity came in. You've got to do something innovative.
You've got to do something creative.
I'm telling you, the pressure started to build.
And the pressure started to build. So this was when you had to be the person being mirrored.
And it was hell. You know, it was like, when is that bell going to ring? I can't stand this. It's like, you know, the pressure's too great. And then it was when we did the sit down and do the reflection, and actually then there was that opportunity to just be in attention, you know, have that attention, that it all fell in, like, oh my God. I was feeling really sad after the whole thing. And what the sadness was, that this happens over and over again. There is love. That's all that's there. That's all that wants to be lived in. And it is stolen.
Yeah.
Time after time after time. And it was, I've never seen it so clearly about what it is sacrificed.
Yes.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that it's what we're what Cherry was pointing at as getting clear about the practitioner, the human being, and the wisdom, love, and compassion. Because you're describing exactly that. The quality of the wisdom, love, and compassion is love. Attention on it gives us that experience, and it's always there. It's always available. And the attention gets pulled away by whatever karmic story. Be interesting. Be innovative, and feeling the pressure of that, right? And then to have an experience in the facilitation to drop that and once more come back to love. And here's the part that it's an interesting place to explore, and I'll offer this to you, right, Sequoia, because what you experienced was sadness. And there's a way in which we want to experience compassion, which is very different from experiencing sadness. The ability to witness a human being whose life has been taken over by conditioned mind moves us to do whatever it takes in order for that not to be the case. The sadness is simply part of the karma. Because what it wants to bring us to is regret. It just... What happened? Poor thing. Oh, it's so sad. But it's a very different quality than, so what I'm going to do is, this moment is love. This moment, let's be present. Because there's a vortex of that depression that can drag us into conditioning and a decision to be perfect the next time around. And I think it's you who said it to me once, that there's a refusal to go to the place of feeling victimized.
Yeah, just not going off into the corner to cry with conditioning.
That's right. Yes. to really come back to the moment.
To use that as the, I just get this warrior image. You know, to use that as the, battle cry, but, it's like, that is more than not okay.
That is more than not okay. Yeah. It's a recognition that, when I'm not in love and I have that experience, what I want to is to come back to love, because nothing in life says, you didn't do it before, and therefore you've lost a whole lot of love.
Because in the moment that you experience that presence of love, there's no absence of the years you've not been there.
Exactly. I mean, that's all there is, and it's very full, and it's
that's
very
right. It's very full, and it's very complete.
Yeah. And there was outsource.
All right. We gotta go, huh?
Yeah, we gotta go.
All right. So for homework, to record and listen about what it's been like to reflect and be reflected. Joni?
I have a question about recording listening. I don't know if this is the right place to bring it up or not.
Probably not. Let's hold it, and maybe we could check in on our way out. Is it related to this assignment?
Well, just when I'm doing the recording listening, there's something I'm just not sure about.
Bring it up in group this evening with Cherry.
Okay.
So, recording and listening about your experience of reflecting and being reflected, and as you're doing that, to practice reflecting the person you're hearing on the recorder. So it might be out loud, might be in your head.
So when you're listening to the recording, practice reflecting the person you're hearing. It's a great way to practice reflection.
And so when you're making your recording, you could practice letting the person who's going to be listening back to it be successful, right?
Yeah.
Right, so we're making a recording about the experience of being reflected and listened to?
Yes.
And then while we listen to that recording, we reflect that person.
Yeah, and you can practice doing it out loud and in your head. Uh-huh. And you're welcome to pause the recorder, reflect, and then, however you want to do it.
Yeah. All right, very good, thank you.